to like NMS Labs,
right,
which ends up being $3,000 to $4,000 in costs to have that person come back and testify, right?
Right.
Which the vast majority of cities are gonna say, we're just dumping that DUI. We can't afford to spend $3,000 to $4,000 on an outside expert to come in and do this. So they could have something like that. You might have a DV expert. We generally have those in state that we can rely on.
Fly a witness back in.
Fly a witness back in. That's moved out of state.
We did in Roosevelt City a DUI on a huffing, sent the blood work to a lab in Pennsylvania, I believe it was.
NMS, yeah.
And got the, they found the stuff in his blood on that. And
and a lot of cities can absorb that, but you look at a place like Roosevelt. A couple $1,000s extra for one prosecution is a big deal for that jurisdiction.
Likely the review committee would probably prioritize the felonies, but if there are qualifying requests and you have enough funds, I'm sure you would look at that. Yeah. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Okay. So going back to this, Dan, I know you're just thinking, talking from the hip, but let's say somebody got a pot of money. Are y'all thinking that it would be UPC that would administer that?
What other board would?
I don't know.
SWAT could administer that.
Sure.
AG's office could administer that. So like county, it's whoever gets designated.
Yeah.
But UPC seems like just a good place to
go. Okay.
Could the defense bar administer it?
if the legislature was providing the funds, there's already a statutory mechanism at UPC, right?
Right.
That's already in statute. They just have to provide the funds.
Right.
Yeah, but it might be a stronger request for like the Engine Defense Commission has board members who are not defense attorneys.
Yeah.
So if we could create something that had a little bit more diversity of non-prosecution. Maybe they make a stronger request. I don't know.
Put it in CCJJ or something like that, or
could.
I don't know that's the right place, but to your point of you're looking for more diversity, you've got to get outside of the prosecutor.
Right. Yeah.
I think it would be helpful to have data on this too. If that example, I think is a lot more powerful than just saying, "Hey, we've got agencies across the state that could prosecute better." If we had a bigger fund, if we had data saying there's cases in this county where they wanted an expert to talk about, to review a case and provide expert testimony, they could.
And that's something that we could gather. Seeing, once we make the announcement, seeing what kind of requests we get, and then maybe at the beginning of the new fiscal year, we could send out, some kind of a survey requesting information as, like you're saying, with anecdotal data. Had we had these funds been available, this is how we would have proceeded, or how we would have proceeded differently, or we could certainly, do that. Okay. All right, so Stephen and Ed. The John R. Justice Review Committee, I sent an email 2 weeks ago. Steve Garside was on that, and I don't know if it's because he was a council member, because this way predates me. If it's because he was a council member or if he just volunteered as a prosecutor, but we need to replace him. I've reached out to one individual and he's thinking about it. There's another person that I'm thinking that I could ask to be on that. For those of you that aren't familiar with that process, it's once a year they meet for about 2 hours to review the applications, and what makes it really slick and efficient is that Ashley Reyes from the State Board of Education, she compiles all of the data from the applications and puts it into a single spreadsheet with all the factors, and it just makes it super easy. So this is not a huge time commitment. So I don't know if any council members want to volunteer, or if you have a suggestion of somebody that I could reach out to. They need to have some kind of financial savvy. That's why I'm not a good member. That's why I don't vote for this on this committee. But if there's anybody, any suggestions on who I could ask, who you think would be willing to do this? It's helpful if they're here along the Wasatch Front. We can meet remotely, but
Is this something that you want this person to do it from year to year, or is it something that we could all take a turn and do it once a year?
That would work as well. I mean, the advantage of long term is you kind of know what the trends are, what they've done from year to year. So like Paul Wake has been on it for probably 7 years now. You actually signed him for me. I think it was you. But Heidi Boucher and Jennifer Forresta, I mean, they've been on it for years and just have a lot of institutional knowledge. And so that's the advantage if it's the same group, you know, for a couple of years. But I'm willing to just go out and beat the bushes, but I just wanted to run it past you all first, see if anybody wanted to do it.
What kind of decision making is it? You're just looking at an Excel sheet and smiling?
Yeah, well, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, what the parameters are is least ability to repay their loans. And so what Ashley's spreadsheet shows is what's their, you know, adjusted gross income, their AGI, what's their salary, what's their debt to ratio, and all the factors that we're allowed to look at. And then it gives you, you know, who has the least ability to pay. And then what it is just taking that lump sum. And for those of you that applied for these in the past, up until 2 years ago, it used to be that we would get a pot of money and we had to divide it right down the middle. Half would go to public defenders, half would go to prosecutors. And because they only get, the most I've ever had is 7 public defenders apply, they get a big chunk of change. Whereas I would get prosecutors that would apply, there'd be so many that they would get pennies on the dollar. Whereas now they've changed that, is everybody's in the same pool. And so we're no longer seeing these $8,000, $10,000 awards to public defenders. So it's a little more equitable in that. But smiling and saying yes, I mean, because inevitably, well, I mean, and I know you're being facetious, but that's kind of what it comes down to, is just with Ashley, the way.
Ashley did all the work.
It's math.
Yeah.
You're just double checking if she
correct
did work.
Right? And in, like, for example, 2 years ago, they decided policy-wise, to put a cap. If you make $105,000 or above, we're not going to make you eligible. Or we had somebody applied last year that's been out of law school for 22 years, and so they came up with, if you're 20 years or more, you're not eligible. And so, you know, there's those kinds of discussions. Or sometimes they will ask Ashley, you know, tweak the formula a little bit and let's see how it goes. But it's just, like I said, it's no more than 2 hours a meeting, and maybe an hour just reviewing the applications ahead of time once a year.
I'll do it.
Stuart?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
With the caveat, if you lied to me, I'll run. I'll be passing it on next year.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on. The legislative session, I mean, you already know what's happened, so I'm just going to, per SB, all state employees are getting a 3% COLA, so that will be reflected in the budget in June that you vote on. That doesn't go effect until July 1st. There was also some money, additional funds that were allocated to the AG's office that the, what's it called? What's the committee called, Dan? The Salary Review Committee, that's not their title.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, okay, we're going to go with that. That they will have the ability to make some discretionary increases to the COLA, but I'm just anticipating that.
And that's focused on the positions that were found to be underpaid
right.
by the DHRM study last
yeah.
year.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. So I don't know that.
It's not, the COLA is not across the board?
No, no, the COLA
the board,
is.
And then there's a little bit of money for people who are underpaid.
Yeah, yeah. So I anticipate that the five of us will see that, we will see that 3% increase. And whether or not we see any additional discretionary funds, I'm not expecting it just because you have all been generous, but we'll wait to see what the review committee comes up with. As I mentioned in when we met last, the governor's budget came out and was recommending that $233,200 for a DV prosecutor, and had lots of really good traction, but in the end, it did not happen. It came out of the subcommittee, a one-time funding of $233,000, and I just said, yeah, exactly, I can't do anything with one time. And I met with Representative Burton, who said, no, we really want to fund this, and we think we'll get you the funds next year, and I can't hire somebody on a, we may have funds for next year. So I'm actually glad they just didn't give us anything because that would have created a headache. But I'm going to ask for those funds again next year, and hopefully if it's a better year, we'll get be able to fund a full-time person.
They'll have already built the hockey stadium and the baseball stadium, so they won't have that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then
Utah protested against.
Yes.
Right. Right. And then if you recall, there was an error in our favor where when we got the salary increase, they gave us an additional $90,000. That was taken back. I think it's going to be in our carryover this year. The problem is I'm only authorized by statute to have $150,000 carryover, and if this $90,000 is still sitting in our account that I did not account for, because I assume they would take it back, we may be giving more back, I mean, anything in excess of $150,000. So I tried to get the legislature to let us keep that to fund a full-time secretary, but they said it's a lean year and they were grabbing it, any pockets of money they could.
Can you move it to the extraordinary expenses?
I know. You know what? Actually, I didn't even think about that. I will find that out, and maybe we do that, and so that it will have more than $25,000 to take into consideration. Yeah, that's a good point, Jeff. I didn't think about that. Do we need a motion to do that? Because I didn't account for the $90,000.
I move that if Bob determines that this additional $90,000 is available to spend and needs to be spent this year, that it be added to the $25,000 as potential unusual prosecutor expense awards.
There's okay. Nothing statutory limiting that. Mm-hmm. No. Second.
All
can
in
I
favor?
Make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't you want to just make it whatever's over the 150,000?
Yeah.
Rather than the entire 90, so whatever is beyond the carryover that you can take and push in there. But the carryover you might want to keep for other things like funding the secretary position.
Yeah, that makes sense. So instead of the up to 90,000, up to the carryover.
Okay.
Up to the excess of carryover.
Okay. All in favor of that amended motion?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Training committee. So, quick review. We did our train the trainer in March up in Logan. It was a great success. We had Jeff Stott from Rob's office. We had, we had Adam Pomeroy, who's no longer with the AG. I know. Kristen Zimmerman came. We had some detectives from Trent's sexual assault course. We had some of Tyson's counterparts that came. We ended up having 21 students. We had some really good students that we're going to be able to use that we're probably looking at rotating into our basic faculty lineup, and so that we could actually rotate between different faculty and not have to rely on the same people every year. Plus, we've got some really good presenters. We got some good feedback that we'll be able to incorporate into future courses. The added bonus, as I put in there, is Stephanie Quintero from Box Elder County. She's the chair. No, she's not the chair.
She's co-chair.
Co-chair. So she's with Karen, co-chair. Wanted to come and observe one of our courses, and so she came, and it was phenomenal. I just was there helping out, kept notes of all of our faculty meetings. I mean, just was really a great benefit, and so we may want to consider maybe see if we can't do that. Although if we have a part-time secretary, they can fill that need. But I mean, it was really helpful for Stephanie to be there to see how we did things. Our visual trial skills, we had our first real course last week, had 9 students. I think it went well. Blair Wardle does a phenomenal job. He's a guru, and so just go back to your offices and let your folks know it's you know how to use PowerPoint in a closing, opening. It's really beneficial. And so we're going to, you know, be announcing that. We've got 3 more courses throughout the rest of the year, and we've already gotten really good response, people wanting to do that. We've heard from some paralegals that will also want to do that. And so we've been talking about, do we open up maybe 2 seats per course for a paralegal that might help their attorney, you know, develop a presentation